All right, Mama, you started your business because you're great at what you do and you want to do it on your terms.
Hello, freedom and flexibility.
But you're a couple of years in, handcuffed to your biz, more overwhelmed than ever. You feel like you're not doing anything well at work or with your fam.
If that's you, stay tuned.
I'm Ritu Parikh, mom of two, wife of one, former professional organizer turned productivity pro, here to help women like you with growing businesses, stop drowning, and start controlling all your demands and distractions. Welcome to Productivity on Purpose.
Hello, friends. Hope you're having an awesome day and week. Kind of a tough one. There's been a lot going on in my world. And it's on weeks like this that I am so grateful for being an entrepreneur and having flexibility in my schedule. The days that I had been completely distracted by the various personal things that are going on in my life right now, which I touched on a few of them on the last episode, I am so just thankful that I can work at night or in between meetings or in between doctor's appointments or in between things with my son or anytime I want. Just really made me appreciate my job, career, and life these days. And it's nice to sometimes just step back for a moment and think about all you have to be grateful for. Even when it's a time when you're crazed or sad or it's hard, there is always so much good going on too. So that was a bit of a tangent, but it's what I've been thinking about. It's what's been on my mind and I wanted to share. I've also been thinking about this, that I have become a master editor or a master wordsmith lately. And it's actually been so much fun. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. One of the things that I do with my clients, one of the benefits of partnering with me, is that if we are coaching together, you have access to me all the time. Well, within working hours, but meaning between our sessions, you have access to me. And I encourage my clients to send me things in between. Send me your resources or send me something you're working on or what we discussed. Let me put another set of eyes on it or give you feedback or simply just give you another perspective. So as you might know, some of the work I do with clients is around creating efficiencies. And one way we do that is to create templates, like email templates, as well as other systems and workflows. So clients will send me their emails to review, and sometimes their templates to review, or maybe they'll just say, hey, can you look at this? I'm not sure how this sounds. Is this too long? Is it clear, etc.? And I've been getting those so much lately. I've been doing so much wordsmithing around them and really helping them to gain more clarity or really provide more clarity when they're writing emails in their communications, make them more concise, visually even clearer and appealing. And yeah, I've just been wordsmithing and that kind of stuff a lot lately, which has been really fun. So I think that when we hear the word templates, we think about all the efficiencies we're creating by not having to spend time on writing a new email or a new communication, right? Do you have this template? You're working off the template, you're tailoring it, customizing it, and then using it for the next communication. So definitely there are so many efficiencies with that. And that's what we work on. And that's very true. You save a ton of time, a ton of brain power on thinking about how to word something. What's the right next phrase, the opening, the closing, the call to action, etc. 100% love me my templates. However, there's also another part of efficiency when it comes to emails and creating really effective emails that is equally important. And I think it's underlooked. And it's related to the amount of time it takes for the recipient to understand and respond with timeliness and accuracy to your communication. And mostly that's like in the form of email, right? So if you are really, really clear and concise in your email and your communication, it's going to decrease the amount of time going back and forth on email due to miscommunication or maybe the person has not responded and you're wondering why haven't they responded yet? Because they might be a little bit overwhelmed by your email, or maybe they've answered some of your questions thoroughly, but not all of the questions. And this just can cause a lot of back and forth, a lot of frustration between you and the recipient. And it can very much, the root of the problem is not, oftentimes not the person who's getting it, because we like to blame them and say, oh, why haven't they responded? Or why didn't they respond thoroughly or fully? Why do we have to go back and forth? Often it is the issue, the root of the cause is the sender. Yes, you and me. Now, you might not know this is happening, but this is really what's happening. In fact, when your messages are long or more of a stream of consciousness or just not direct, not clear, they don't offer one next clear step. Rather, there's 12 next steps. The person receiving it is likely to glaze over it, or they open it, they start reading it, right? And they just put it back in their email. They mark it on read. They are just literally overwhelmed by it and can't deal with it at that time. And you know what I'm talking about because it happens to you all the time, right? Like, it happens to me. I get those emails. You get those emails. There's so much information. There's so many filler words. There are long paragraphs. You don't even know where to begin. You close it. You'll think, I'll get back to that later. And 2 weeks later, it's lost among your hundreds of other emails in your inbox. So as I mentioned, a few of my clients have been sending me their emails to look at, and there are some common themes that I'm seeing, and I wanted to share that today to make your email communications more effective so that other people can respond more effectively and more efficiently. All right, so number one, and I mentioned this, but messages are long, like really, really long. I am getting messages from clients, and they know they're long. They're like, I know this is really long. Does this sound too wordy? The fact that they're asking me it sounds too wordy means it. You know it's too wordy, but you just don't know how to cut it down or what to cut back. It feels like everything you want to say is so important. And the truth is, it could be important, but often it comes down to formatting and breaking up paragraphs, using bullet points, spaces, organizing thoughts better. So you can really reduce the length of an email, the amount of words when you're thinking about formatting. I think formatting is essential. When you look at an email, if it's broken up, maybe just like, I like to keep it usually no more than two sentences in a paragraph, and then I break them up that way. Now, by the way, if you're receiving my weekly emails, if you're on my email list, you see that in my emails. I don't think I ever have more than two sentences in a paragraph, right? I use bold, I use italics, I bullet point, I'm very clear with an action at the end. They're short. I spend a lot of time going back and making them more brief and taking out words and not being repetitive. And, you know, it takes time. So think about that. Like, how long are your emails? Think about how people and you are inundated with emails. You're getting on average 120 emails a day is what we get on average. So if you're getting at least 100, could be 200 emails a day, does someone have the time and the stamina and the mental bandwidth to get through an email when they see it and it's long? Okay. So that's one thing to really be thinking about. Number two, I mentioned this, but lots of filler words. Listen, I love courteous emails. I love it. I think it's a great way to start to say, hey, hope you had a great weekend, or great to see you the other day. I hope you enjoyed the conference. But it can't get too much and your recipient is busy. You have already lost them if you're stuck in a lot of filler conversation in the beginning and you haven't even gotten to the heart of the matter of your communication yet. Like, it was a pleasure to sit with you and meet you at the event. It was a privilege to be among such an esteemed group. I look forward to our next interaction. I hope we get some more time to get to know each other. Right? You're like going your paragraph in and you've lost them. They're done. So that's one type of filler words. Other filler words are things like really. And I do say these a lot when I'm speaking. I'm sure through this podcast, I'll say words like really and so much and very, and I'll say a lot of that because I'm speaking. It's okay. But when I'm going back and looking at my communications and thinking about in my emails, how can I reduce words, make it more brief? Do I really need those kinds of filler words? It's a lot of those, like, those words, those adjectives that aren't actually adding anything greater to the conversation. In fact, it's just adding more words and making it longer. Number three, I mentioned they're so long because there's lots of paragraphs. So of course, like I said, break them down into like those two sentences or three sentences at most in a paragraph, and then actually make a break, keep a space, and start a new one. But another efficiency tip when it comes to paragraphs, when you see a lot of commas or lists in your paragraphs, like if you're listing something, you're like, okay, so what we'll do is I'll send it over to you, then you can review it, send it back to me. Once our team gets it, we'll put it through legal, get it back, right? It's like a bunch of commas. There's a bunch of next steps. that is your signal to immediately remove the commas and bullet them. So that is like the way that I know when I'm receiving more than one comma in a paragraph, I'm like, oh, wait. There is an opportunity here for me to bullet it. And then typically when I bullet, I almost always can make the bullets shorter than they were in the actual sentence. Like there is a way to take out again those filler words or be less repetitive, or it like automatically signals to me to make it shorter. So watch out for those commas or anything that's being listed. Another tip is just using Grammarly. I love Grammarly. It's spelled like Grammarly, in case you're not familiar with it. It is a free grammar tool. It is freaking amazing, guys. If you're not using it, you have to just sign up for it right now. And saying it's free on like Gmail, on my email, it's free. I don't know if an Outlook, but I use Gmail and it's free on that. And so essentially, as you're typing anything, it is offering you recommendations on your grammar. My grammar is really poor, but it also just making everything, like I just mentioned, so much more concise. And I think for a while, it used to be more just about spelling and adding commas. But now with AI, they literally rewrite full sentences and paragraphs for you to make them more succinct and take out all those filler words that I've just been talking about. It's free. There's no reason you shouldn't sign up, although I am ready to get the paid version because I think you'll get maybe 5 free suggestions or recommendations a day. And they give me suggestions on every single thing I write. And 98% of the recommendations they make, I take. So I'm at the point where it just makes my writing so much better that I think I'm just going to do the paid version, and I'm sure it's not a lot, but they really take your long-ass sentence and shorten it and make it so much more concise. So I think even using that tool will get you thinking that way of how to do that in the future on your own. I've definitely noticed that I'm writing in a more concise manner because I've been using the Grammarly tool so much. They've been making all those recommendations. Now I start using those just naturally as I'm writing. So very, very cool. Another thing is be very, very, very clear with your opening and with your call to action. So these are two very different things. So in the opening, after that courteous greeting, like, hey, hope you had a great weekend or great to see you at the conference, or, you know, hope this year is turning out, you know, profitably for you, whatever it might be, you want to start your email with the purpose. So many times we launch into emails with details. The details are like, so I'm wanting to give you this update on what happened in the meeting. So-and-so did this, and now we're behind on this deadline. And because of that, we want to do that, blah, blah. And it's just like all these details, right? And then somewhere in there, there's questions. There's like, can you answer this? What do you think about that? What are your thoughts? And it just gets really messy and confusing. By the end, that's when you get those emails back. But sometimes people don't answer all the questions. They're a little bit confused of what they're supposed to be doing, or they've procrastinated responding to you because it's so much. On the other hand, if you start your email with the purpose, literally say, the purpose of this message is, or I'm reaching out because, and it helps you get so much more clear on what the purpose is. So even though you're giving all, let's say from the example of that meeting, you're giving all the updates and the next steps, it might be the purpose of this message is, or I'm reaching out, or I'm sending you this to know that, you know, I would like your approval on the below requests, or I would love to get your thoughts on if you, you know, how we should move forward, or I'm writing to you to see if you agree with my recommendation below. And then you get into all the details. It is so different and such a different approach. It makes it so clear for that person. And I promise you, it's going to make it so much more clear for you as to like what exactly you're asking for. And automatically, when I start with a purpose, because often I don't, I'm just like kind of going to this stream of consciousness or just writing down all my thoughts. I think it's organized, but I realize I haven't started with the purpose. When I go back and add it in, it immediately makes me make the rest of my email more clear. It just like immediately signals that clarity as well. So really important. Okay. And similarly, your call to action, which is at the end, end with a specific call to action. Like, please respond by a certain date or certain by 5 p.m. on Friday. Please provide. Now, in that, you might want to bold, you could underline, you might want to highlight if it doesn't bullet it, like in a way that it really stands out. Or let me know if we should take this to the team by tomorrow evening or whatever it is, like always have that call to action. Now, if it's something that has several questions in it, first of all, I hope if you have a bunch of questions for someone, you bulleted out those questions. And then your call to action might be, you know, please respond to the above questions by a certain time. And it might even be helpful for you to say, feel free to respond to just, you know, respond in red to the questions that are bulleted above. Like, how clear is that now for somebody that they don't even have to copy and paste it or write everything? They can just hit reply, go back to that email and like respond in red for those things. But it's only possible when all those questions are not all mixed into paragraphs, when they're bulleted out, and then you've given them that very clear response on how to do it. Now, their expectations are met and they are so much more, or let's say more likely to respond and so much less likely to procrastinate responding because you have given them such a clear and easy and simple way to respond. Okay, so putting these all together, I don't even know, I think there was 6 or 7 different ways to make your messages clearer, more brief, more efficient. Your goal is to get the most efficient response from other people, but it's up to you to provide them that direction and that clarity up front. So whether it's the action they have to take to reply to your message, or even, gosh, even in that subject line, even that purpose, how you're building it, how they're visually seeing it, your job is to make it as easy as possible for someone else to take action. It is not their responsibility to have to sift through your message or figure out what you're asking for or put together unorganized information. I'm talking about this specifically and getting so detailed about this today because we spend so much time in email every day. I feel like I have really gotten my email streamlined as much as possible. And I still, there are so many emails, right? And so it's not just the time it takes to respond to the emails that you're getting, but it's the time that we're wasting in inviting confusion and overwhelm and disinterest for other people. So if you want better responses, more accurate responses, more timely responses, then spend that extra time, or I'll say invest that extra time up front to read and reread your messages and ask yourself, am I being crystal clear? Or on the other hand, am I being too wordy? If you think you're being too wordy, you're probably being too wordy. Am I providing the clarity that allows the other person to take swift action, or am I putting the onus on them? There is almost no email, even when I'm just writing 2 or 3 lines, that I only look at once. Every email I do is a first draft, every single one. And then I go back and read it and I ask myself all these questions, or I see how I can make it more brief or more clear, or, you know, is it just, and every single one, and I'm not kidding, even if it's other, unless it just says yes, outside of that, I'd be like, okay, how can I do this? So yes, does that take extra time up front? Of course, but that investment of time is going to save you time. Okay? So I am so excited for you to try these things. You'll be thinking about them. And on that note, I want to hear from you, my friend. I hope this episode got your wheels turning. I think this is kind of on the short side, but it doesn't mean that it's not a lot to think about. I hope it's really valuable for you. And before I sign off, I want to give you this week's challenge. You spent your precious time with me. I want to make sure it's 100% worth it. So today's action is go back and look at the next email you're about to send, right? Today, just like maybe right after this, you're going to send an email, or tomorrow morning, depending on when you're listening to this. And just triple check. Is it concise? Are there filler words I can remove? Can I be using Grammarly? Are there more bullets, spacing, shorter paragraphs? Do I have a very clear purpose, a clear call to action? Challenge yourself to go back, to reread, to invest that time up front so you save more time down the road. All right, my friend, if you haven't already gotten your hands on free resources about how to focus, stop procrastinating, and stop feeling overwhelmed, girl, you need to get them. Come on over to lifeisorganized.com/resources because I promise you this was just the tip of the iceberg. And if you have gotten some inspiration and motivation from this episode today and have not yet left a review, please do so. It truly means the world to me and helps me get in front of so many other amazing women. As always, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time, loving vibes, positive energy, and know that I'm sending them right back your way. Here's to getting more of the right things done and embracing productivity on purpose. I'll catch you next time.